Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world, and we do this in several different ways. On Sundays, we meet together for three gatherings at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard in the heart of the Hollywood District of Portland. Our gatherings start at 9:15 and 11 a.m. and at 6:15 p.m. with child care available at all gatherings. We also meet in life groups all over the city, and God calls us to love the city of Portland. If you'd like more information about who we are, how to be involved, how to find a life group, or you have some other question, please visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org, or just come and hang out with us at one of our gatherings. We look forward to seeing you, and for now, here's this week's talk.
Well, good morning. Hate to break this up. I'm enjoying hearing you guys talk and engage, but I want to get you guys out of here as quick as possible to brunch or to a football game or to something like that, and so I thought we'd get started. My name is Matt. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and I'm also privileged to serve on the teaching team. As Jason and Jeremy said before, we're so excited that you're here, that you've chosen this gathering to be with us today to worship God. We exist, Mosaic exists, to follow Jesus in community for the world, for our neighborhood, and so we're excited that you've chosen to be with us today. And so today we're actually going to continue in our series on the Holy Spirit. And over the last several weeks, we've talked about the idea that the Holy Spirit is a person, not an idea, not a concept, but a person. And we've seen that there's this idea that there's a very significant role that the Holy Spirit plays in the life of a follower of Jesus. We've heard a lot of incredible truth. One of the incredible truths that we've heard is that the Creator God, the Creator of the universe, actually wants a relationship with us, and He does that through the Spirit. One of the things that we know as people in relationships is this idea of communication, that it's not just one way, but there's a give and take. And so communication is in the idea of relationship. So it begs the question, how do we hear His voice? And so today, by God's grace and by God's grace alone, we're going to seek to learn about that and hear what He has to say. In life, the truth is that there are all kinds of things trying to get our attention. In the next 30 minutes or so, a handful of you, maybe a lot of you, will get a text from a friend or possibly from work, maybe an email. A few of you in this room will be so bored with what I'm saying that you will have to get your phone out and check the score from yesterday's game or Thursday night's game or today's game that's going on right now. The fact is that there are numerous things in life trying to get our attention, numerous things that are trying to actually speak to us. And today we're going to see that there's actually a role that we play in who we hear. We're going to see Jesus model a way of living and a way of listening that is moving, possibly strange to some of us, inspiring, absolutely life-changing. We're going to see that Jesus was guided by a story and by a voice. And we're going to see how He chose to allow that voice to shape His life. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to tell you a story. And so before we do that, we believe that, as Jason says, Jeremy said, we believe the Holy Spirit is here, that He wants to speak to us. We want to pray that we have ears that listen, hearts that respond. And we want to ask this morning that He actually shows us what that role is that we play in hearing Him. So would you bow your heads with me? Holy Spirit, we know that You are here and present this morning. We know that You are speaking always, that You have something to say this morning. Father, may we listen for what You have. May we listen intently for what You have for us today. Spirit, will we see that You're pointing us to the person of Jesus, pointing us to life and hope and compassion and truth. May we be people that listen for Your voice. Thank You for the truth that You're here today and that You are moving in this world and in this room in unbelievable ways. Will we listen today for You and You alone? In Your name we pray. Amen. Today we'll be in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. If you're new here, or you're new to the scriptures, that's in probably the last third of your Bible. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and chapter 4 is where we'll be. Today we're actually going to be looking at a hard text, a difficult text about temptation, about testing. which is interesting because in the chapter before, in Luke 3, we see this pretty incredible story, a great story about Jesus being baptized in the Jordan River, and a scene where the Holy Spirit actually descends upon Jesus, and the Creator God establishes publicly his relationship with Jesus by saying, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." So although today's text is a difficult one, it's a really important one for us to learn and look at. And so if you want to follow along, we have Bibles to the left and to the right. There's also going to be scripture on the screen. And so let's pick it up in verse 1, chapter 4 of Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know if you're hearing that phrase, these two verses, for the first time, or it might be the 100th time you've heard it, but the reality is the first time I heard that, all I could think was, man, what a jerk. What a mean thing to do. The Holy Spirit leads Jesus to the desert, to the wilderness, and drops him off with Satan. I don't know about you, but man, the first time I read that, I'm going, gosh, that's kind of a bully. The reality is we could read the text that way. We could see the story as Jesus was kind of led and kind of dropped off. But in reality, the word right there in verse 1, led, is this what's called in the imperfect verb form. And all that means simply is that it's both a past event and also referencing to a continuing or repeated event. So it actually gives a kind of a different texture to the beginning of the story. What it means basically is this, is that Jesus was not just led by the Spirit in the wilderness and then dropped off, but the whole time that Jesus was in the wilderness, he was being led. And so the picture is, yes, the Spirit leads him to the wilderness, and the whole 40 days that he's being tempted and tested, the Spirit is with him. The Spirit doesn't leave him, but was with him the entire time. The gospel writer wants us to see that although there is testing in these 40 days, Jesus was full of the Spirit, and Jesus was being led by the Spirit. And what this means is Jesus was hearing the voice of the Spirit. Jesus faces three temptations in the following verses that we're going to read. And we want to watch for two specific things in his life, two specific things in his example we want to watch for today. And as those come up, I'm going to try to highlight those for us. Let's pick up in verse 3. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." So the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Right as Jesus is starving, right as he is most vulnerable, Satan begins to test Jesus. And right there in verse 3, he says, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus responds with a phrasing from the first five books of the scriptures, what's called the Torah. He quotes Deuteronomy 8:3. And he says, "Man shall not live on bread alone." You don't have to turn there, but I want to actually read a section from Deuteronomy 8 for you, the section that Jesus actually is referencing in this moment as he's responding to Satan. Let me read this to you. "Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This story is it's about the Israelites. It's about God's chosen people who had been set apart to be an example to the world of what it was to walk with Yahweh, to walk with the Creator God. They were in the desert for 40 years. They were led by God to the desert, and they were tested. And the story that Jesus is referencing is the story about the Israelites continuing to struggle to trust Yahweh and his plan. Some interesting parallels there. In Luke 4 that we're reading today, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In Deuteronomy 8, God leads the Israelites to the wilderness. The Israelites were there for 40 years. Jesus was there for 40 days. There was tempting. There was testing. And as we just read there, at the end of that section that Jesus quotes, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word from the mouth of the Lord. Let's pick it up in verse 5, Luke 4. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus again responds from the story of the Israelites. Here he quotes Deuteronomy 6:13. Satan tries one last time. Pick it up in verse 9 with me. The devil led him to Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Did you catch that? Satan actually now is quoting scripture to Jesus. How strange is that? Satan quotes Psalm 91. If you throw yourself off, God will show this splendor and your angels will come and they will catch you and you will not be hurt. And Jesus one more time quotes from the Deuteronomy passage. Jesus answers, he says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. He repeats that one more time from the Israelite story. Points out that the Lord is not to be tested. In the previous chapter of Luke that I talked about earlier, we see that God affirms his love for Jesus. You are my son with whom I love. With you I am well. Please, Jesus absolutely knows who he is and he knows his mission. What Satan's trying to do here is trying to get Jesus to not follow through with his call and his plan to walk to the cross, to take on the weight of sin, to go to the cross, to follow God's plan. There's nothing in and of itself of the things that Satan offers Jesus that are wrong. First temptation, food. Food's good. It sustains us. Can we all agree with that this morning? I'll take that as a yes. I'll take the food's good. It brings pleasure. It's we surround tables and we laugh together. My 5-year-old daughter and I yesterday stood in line in the rain for an hour and 15 minutes at this glorious place called Pine State Biscuits on Division. And they make this amazing creation called the biscuit. And it's fluffy and flaky and glorious. And I'm about to lose all my vegetarians in the room, and I apologize. But then they take that biscuit and they put a piece of fried chicken on it, and then bacon, and then cheese, and then they put gravy on it. It's good. God looked at it and said, amen. God looked at it and said, it was very, very good. First temptation, food. It's not a bad thing. It's good. Second temptation, Jesus being king. Jesus' kingship was the point the whole time. Him coming and ruling and reigning over the world. It's a good thing. And the third temptation, Jesus throwing himself off a building and God showing his splendor by his angels coming and showing a miraculous thing. How can that be a bad thing? The fact is that Satan actually knows this. He's clever. He's crafty. But Satan's way was not the plan. Satan's way was actually independent of God's ways, independent of God's plans. And for Jesus to do so would have actually been disobeying God's plan. You see, Jesus was called to be dependent, not independent, dependent on God's call on his life, dependent on God's plan. And Jesus was following the Spirit's lead and God's mission for him. Jesus was called to use the miraculous gifts to serve others, not to serve his own needs. He was called to establish his kingship by giving his life away as a ransom for many, not through gaining it through the worship of another being. And Jesus was called to trust in God's words over him over the Jordan River as he says, "You are my son, and I love you. With you, I am well pleased." Jesus was not to test God. I'm here to say this morning to thank God that Jesus was obedient to the Spirit that day and obeyed God's call on his life. Humanity, all of humanity, you and I in this room would be in a very much different standing in our lives if Jesus would have not been obedient to his mission. The first thing that we watch for, the first thing I said, we're going to look for two things. The first thing we look for in this story, the first thing we want to take away is that Jesus knows the scriptures. I mean, he knows it intimately. He has meditated on it. He has understood the story. He has sat in it. He has gathered principles from it. He speaks from it. He was a first century Jew. He sat in the scriptures. He was a rabbi. He learned the scriptures. The reality is most likely he would have memorized most of the Torah, maybe all five books, possibly Isaiah and possibly the Psalms. He knew the scriptures intimately. We see in the text that the Holy Spirit was leading Jesus. And when the devil sought to test him, he responds with the truth of God's story from God's word. We want to become people. Thing we want to watch for this morning. We, Mosaic, here, we want to become people with a rhythm in Scripture, not so we get the check mark, not so we walk in the room and say, "I'm the best Christian in the room," not to walk in and go, "Oh, look what I've accomplished this week. Look how many verses I learned." We want to become consistent people with rhythms in the Scripture so that we might actually be able to recognize the voice of God and his narrative. The Spirit speaks through the revealed word of God. And we want to become people like Jesus who listens for that story because he knows the scripture. 11 years ago or so, about 2003, I was sitting in my office and I was reading around the idea of reconciliation, God's reconciliation plan for the world and how he does that through us forgiving one another in that process. I was worshiping, I had my guitar and Adrian and I had just moved from Phoenix to Denver so Adrian could go to seminary and study for her counseling degree. I took a pastoral role at a local church, and it was a Saturday. Adrian spent most Saturdays at the library, and so I would usually go and write songs or prepare for the gatherings the next day. That particular night, as I said, I was reading on this idea of reconciliation and forgiveness, and I felt led to pray. Felt specifically led to pray about people in my life who I'd actually wronged and who I needed to actually seek forgiveness from. I had a journal, which I don't normally journal, and so I just thought maybe the Spirit's going to say something today. One person came to mind. It was a person on my team who I've been having some issues with, and so I wrote her name down. Right after that, I'd asked the Lord, is there any other people? Are there any other people I need to make something right with? And the Lord pretty immediately brought a face to mind. A person who I had actually had a pretty bad interaction with 2 years before that back in Phoenix, but I didn't actually remember his name. But I did absolutely remember the interaction that we had. I was, at the time, we were living in Phoenix, I was in charge of putting together all of our college and high school mission trips. We would send out several teams to different countries and different parts of the United States. And so there was a particular trip that year that I actually wanted to lead, but I couldn't because of scheduling issues, so I put another friend in charge of that trip. Really jealous, and I really wanted to go, but I didn't get to. And so a couple weeks later, I found out that he had contacted a worship pastor at another church to actually come on that trip and co-lead the trip with him. Needless to say, when I found out, I was annoyed and frustrated and jealous and all of those emotions that are ugly and get involved as we hear things that we don't like. A few weeks before that trip was ready to leave for their mission. My friend called and said, hey, Matt, would you come? And kind of, we're going to do our final program and run through the music and all the skits and all that stuff. Would you come and critique? And I said, okay. And so I'm there that day, and I'm listening through, and we get done, and he looks at me and says, hey, Matt, what do you think? Give us some thoughts, and kind of walk through all the drama stuff. I say, yeah, this was good, and that was a great phrase, and that was funny. And we get to the music part, and embarrassingly to say, I mean, I lean into this guy. I say, man, great, good job, you know. The arrangement's kind of weird here, and I don't know, the vocal sounds a little funny here. Maybe you should work on this. I mean, I was... I'm a pretty direct person. That day I was passive-aggressive to the T. It was ridiculous. I was unkind. I was ungenerous. And I could tell the people around who knew me well were pretty disgusted by my behavior, and I was too. The fact is I felt conviction that day, but I didn't respond and seek forgiveness, and I actually didn't see him again. So flash forward a few years later in my office in Denver, and I see his face, and I hear the Spirit saying, Matt, make that right. And I think because I was in the midst of the scripture, in the midst of the story of God and the reconciliation and forgiveness, I thought, okay, I think I'm supposed to do this. And so I responded. I called a couple friends I knew were on that trip, and I found his name. His name was Luke. And I spent a couple hours on the internet face stalking him, or whatever you call it. 11 years ago, it was a little different. Facebook didn't exist, so it actually was difficult. You actually had to go to a website and see, oh, I wonder if he works here, and I wonder if he took a couple hours. But I found his name, and I emailed him. Luke emailed me back a couple hours later, actually that night, and was gracious to me. He heard my confession, and he forgave me, and we had a couple emails back and forth, and you know, that was it. A few years later, after Adrian finished seminary, we actually ended up moving back to Phoenix. I was going to take a break from ministry for a little bit and produce and engineer records, and Adrian was going to go into a counseling business. And so I went to my old church, and I knew there was this large room in the back of their worship center that was not being used, so I decided to rent that space out and work on records there. And one day I'm sitting there, and I hear a knock on the door, and I think, okay, I'm being bothered. But okay, so I walk over to the door, and I open the door, and it's Luke. And I'm thinking, I recognize you. I could see on his face he's going, I kind of recognize you. And my old church had hired Luke to be one of the venue pastors, and he had left his church he had been at for years to come up there. And so long story not so short, Luke and I become friends. We have this laugh and this funny moment. We reminisce about what happened a couple years ago, and so we develop a friendship, and I actually did a record for his wife, and you know, we start to have this kind of friendship. And not long after that, Luke gives me a call one night, and I can hear his voice this moment, this thing, this breaking. And his marriage has fallen apart, and he's hit the wall. And they're not sure if they're going to be able to take this next step. And in an instant, I knew exactly what the Spirit was doing all of those years before. In that moment, when I wasn't sure what that face was, I'm not sure why in the world I would reconcile and seek forgiveness from someone I didn't even know. The fact of the matter is that Adrian and I had been at a place a couple years before that where we were at a wall. We were at a place where we were pretty sure we weren't going to move forward. And by God's grace, we got some counseling, and we wrapped some people more into our story around us, and we sought their counsel and their wisdom, and we were authentic with them and showed them where we were and told them we wanted to not be there, and they loved us and encouraged us. And in that moment, I knew exactly what I was supposed to do. And I knew exactly what God was up to years before that. I didn't know before that moment. And so by God's grace, we walked through that situation with Luke and his wife. And we were able to extend grace and love and mercy. We were able to paint a picture of what it actually would look like to walk through reconciliation and actually paint a picture of, man, this can actually be restored and renewed. I was able to be a blessing to him, and he was absolutely a blessing to me. I think back often to that moment in my office back in Denver, how easy it would have been to ignore what I felt the Spirit was leading me to do. The truth of the matter is there have been so many other moments in my life where I haven't responded in obedience. But that day I listened to God, and he had something pretty incredible in that moment for me and actually down the road that I couldn't have possibly imagined. I was able to respond that day because I was in the midst of worship and the scripture. And I heard his voice clearly when asked for direction. The truth is, the Spirit is always at work. He was at work in Jesus' life in the wilderness here in Luke 4. He was absolutely at work in my office all those years ago, and he is absolutely at work in the midst of us right now in this moment. He always wants us to sit in the midst of this grand story of Scripture and be the people of God wherever we go. And at the same time, he wants to lead us to very specific things in his kingdom for work, for both present and future realities. Mosaic, we want to become people who are aware of both realities. We want to wake up in the morning with the knowledge that we are the beloved of God and be able to just sit in that reality, but also we also want to become people who, out of that knowing that we're loved, we want to become people who learn to say, all right, God, I know I'm your beloved today. I know I'm your son. I know I'm your daughter. I know I'm a partaker of the promise. I know I'm a part of the kingdom. Today, Holy Spirit, who am I to meet? What are we up to today? How am I supposed to be a person of blessing today? Who needs hope and compassion? Who needs me to come alongside and serve them? How do I die to myself? These are the kinds of things that God works through. The second thing that we need to watch for in the story of Jesus, the second thing we want to grab today as we walk away, is that Jesus is dependent on God and he responds. He's dependent on God and he responds. The first one was that he knows the Scripture, that he's immersed in the Scripture. He's immersed in the life of the story of God. And the second is he is dependent on the Scriptures, dependent on God and his response to God. He senses the Holy Spirit's leading and he obeys. The story I told you about my buddy Luke and I happened about 11 years ago. And as I said before, there have been so many times where I haven't listened to God's Spirit. I'm grateful I did that day. I'm grateful each day that I'm actually growing in that relationship. And that I pray for the rest of my life that it grows deeper and deeper and I become more sensitive to the Spirit. Learning to hear his voice actually takes practice. As I say that, there might be some of you that kind of go, oh gosh, that kind of feels like effort. And I just want to encourage you that in all of this, God's grace is lavished upon each of us, whether you become a follower of Jesus today or you've been a follower of Jesus for 40 years. You are loved. And God wants, he actually desires to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. We're not going to get it right every time. There are actually going to be times where we hear something and we actually discern it incorrectly. But please hear me this morning is that God wants to work in that way amongst us. And it takes us, the people of God, practicing that every day, restarting. What does it look like today to be one who immerses myself in the Scriptures and then responds and listens for that voice? There's two things that I pray for myself every day and two things right now in this midst of the season I'm praying for Mosaic. That we continue to become people who choose to listen by immersing ourselves in the story of God. And when we hear his voice, we actually depend on him and we respond to that call. We respond to that voice. Jeremy and the band, they're gonna come up and lead us in worship right now. We're actually going to take communion together. We're going to come to the table and we're going to come with a spirit of thanksgiving that Jesus was faithful that day in the wilderness, that he decided to be dependent on God's plan and not giving himself over to the devil's plan. We're going to thank him for being led by the Holy Spirit to actually go to the cross, to take on the sins of the entire world, put that on his shoulders and conquer death so that we might be back in a holy relationship, a right relationship with the Creator God. He's given us that Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in the midst of this kingdom story. And so we want to come to the table with a great joy, a spirit of great joy, that the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus those days in the wilderness is actually inside and with every single person who says, I'm a follower of Jesus, I am a child of the King. We want to come to the table with great joy that the same Spirit who led Jesus to obedience is actually speaking to you and to me. actually wants to be in relationship. He actually wants to engage with us. And so one of the parts that we play is listening. And so we want to take a look at that. And earlier I begged the question, how do we hear? And so the things that Jesus shows today are those two pieces, to know the scripture. And right away, some of you might sit there and kind of go, Matt, I'm not a scholar. I've been following Jesus for 6 months, a year, a week. I don't even know where to start. And I just encourage you, start in one of the Gospels, start in the Gospel of Mark, start in the Gospel of John, and just start to read. Maybe have a little pad there and write down some questions. We have a whole community of people that would love to engage with you. We have all kinds of life group leaders and people serving and pastors, all kinds of people that would love to help you in that process. But to start to learn the story of God, to start to learn what it looks like to be in the midst of the story. And second, when we start to practice that rhythm of knowing the story and seeing the things that the Spirit's doing all over the world and also in very specific ways, that in that moment when He speaks, that we actually respond. That we actually say, okay, God, I'm going to do that. I'm going to go love that person over there at the table who seems broken and they just need someone to say hello and say, is there anything I can do to help you? Even though I'm uncomfortable with that, I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to give generously this month to a family that's in desperate need. And I know you're calling me that too, but I need to. But I'm going to do that in faithfulness because I trust that your story, the thing you're calling me to, is so much bigger than what I understand. And so I'm going to respond in obedience because I know your story. I know your story is that you're reconciling the world back to rights and you are doing something in this world and I actually get to a part to play in it. And so I'm going to step out in obedience. I'm going to respond. Jesus shows us this perfectly in this story. He knows the scriptures. He knows the story. And out of that, he responds to God's direction, God's way of doing things. We want to be people who listen for that voice. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for not choosing a different path. Thank you for walking to the cross, for being the sacrifice that needed to be made to make things right again. Thank you for being dependent on God's plan and mission for your life, conquering death after 3 days and rising in victory in resurrection and painting a picture of what it's going to look like someday for us who have new bodies. Live in a new city, in a new heavens, and a new earth, and we walk with you, and we worship you, and we have this beautiful relationship. Thank you, Father, for being faithful to send your Son. Thank you for your plan. Jesus, we ask specifically that you would continue to do a great work in the midst of Portland, Oregon, that you would do a great work in the midst of Mosaic. That we would be people that believe in our core that you are doing unbelievable things all around the world and at the same time you are doing something specific in us to bring pictures of heaven all over the city of Portland, wherever we live, wherever we work, wherever we go to school. Let us be mindful of that this week. Let us continue to practice to listen for your voice. We know that you're speaking. It's your name that we gather. It's your name that we worship. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. We broadcast every Sunday from the Hollywood District in Portland, Oregon. If you'd like more information about who we are as a community, there's two addresses you should visit. Firstly, you can find us at www.mosaicportland.org. Or you can just come and visit us on a Sunday at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.